All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 44 to 47. And Father, thank you again for your great and awesome presence. And Lord, we pray now as we sit at your feet, may we learn from you. We pray that you would arrest hearts and minds today, that we might comprehend you, comprehend what you're calling us to do. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 8, verses 44 to 47, the title of this message is, Who is Your Father? Part 2. Who is Your Father? Part 2. Now, in part 1 of the study, we saw the religious leaders constantly insist that they were children of Abraham and that God was their father. So Jesus acknowledges that they were the natural descendants of Abraham in verse 37. But he makes a clear distinction between his father and their father in verse 38. And they didn't like what Jesus said to them and resorted to name calling in verse 41. They said, we were not born of fornication like you were, or we were not born out of wedlock, or we're not illegitimate like you are. And Jesus stayed focused and never addressed the rumors about himself or his mother. And he said in verse 42, if God were your father, you will love me. But seeing that you're trying to kill me, it shows that you have another father other than God. Now Jesus is about to tell them who their father really is in verse 44. Look what it says there. You are of your father, the devil. Stop right there. I mean, what Jesus alluded to in verses 38 and verse 41, he comes out and says bluntly in this verse, your father is the devil. In other words, Jesus is saying, this is why you are unable to receive the words about my father, because you have another father, a different father, the devil. So if Jesus said that the devil is a father, that will mean that he has children. And these false religious leaders were some of his children. I mean, this is heavy stuff. But see, you know what it shows me? This shows me that sometimes in talking to people, we have to use strong and direct words. Notice that I didn't say offensive words or angry words, but strong words. We still have to speak the truth in love, like Ephesians 4:15 says, but sometimes strong and direct words are needed. And Jesus told them that they were children of their father, the devil. And as I mentioned last week, there are only two types of people in this world, according to the Bible. Number one, children of God. And number two, children of the devil. And you are either a child of God or a child of the devil. And you can become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, just like the Bible says in John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to them who believe in his name. And so we're not a child of God by being a human being. We become a child of God when we repent of our sins and by faith receive Jesus Christ in our hearts as our Lord and Savior. And this is how we become a child of God. Now, all of us are God's creation, but not all of us are his children. And Jesus tells us this in this verse, and we also see it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, that we mentioned last week. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And so this verse tells us what are the characteristics of a child of God. Number one, they practice righteousness. Notice that I didn't say that they did a couple of righteous acts. And many people think that they are a child of God because they've done a couple of righteous acts. They have given to some charity. They saw the children on TV with the big bellies, and so they gave to that, or they helped a little old lady cross the street. And because they've done a couple of righteous acts, they think that they are righteous. No. Jesus said, and the word of God makes clear, says those who practice righteousness. The Greek word for practice is poeo, and it's a word that means to do, to practice, or to perform. And so a child of God, what it is that they do, they perform or practice the righteous things of God, such as prayer, Bible study, sharing their faith with other people. They fast, they attend church, they put God first in their time, their talents, and their treasures, just to name a few. So number one, a person that is righteous practice righteousness. Number two, they love other people. Show me a person that claims to be a child of God and they don't practice the righteous things of God nor love other people, and I will show you a child of the devil. In other words, it doesn't matter what a person says with their mouths. It is how they live their lives. Remember, we mentioned last week that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 in verses 8 and 9, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And then he says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Notice that Jesus said, in vain they worship me. The Greek word for vain is metin, and it means useless, futile, untrue, that which is false. So Jesus is saying that there are people worshiping him in a useless, false, or untrue way. Now, why would he say this? Because they're only drawing near to him with their lips or their mouths, but their hearts are far from me, but doing something different. They're living a totally different life with their lives. And so a child of God is a person who, number one, practices righteousness, and number two, loves other people. And these religious leaders in these verses were claiming to be children of God, but Jesus tells them they were children of the devil because they were not practicing righteousness and they didn't love him. He said it in verse 42. It says, if God were your father, you would love me. But instead, you are trying to kill me. And the righteous acts that these religious leaders practiced, they were just the commandments of men. Man-made rules and regulations used to try to make them outwardly look like they are righteous. Now, what else did Jesus tell them about their father, the devil? Look what else it says there in verse 44. It says, you're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Stop right there. Notice he says he was a murderer from the beginning. The question is, who did the devil murder in the beginning? He murdered our parents, Adam and Eve. He enticed them to sin in Genesis 3 and disobey God. By doing this, this is how he murdered them. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God told them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, says, all the trees you may eat from, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it, for on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Satan comes along, casts doubt upon the word of God and says, you shall not surely die. Come on. God just pulling your leg. You won't die. Go ahead and do it. And he casts doubt upon the word of God. So Satan got Adam and Eve to disobey and eat from the garden and kill them. And so the devil murdered Adam and Eve in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And that day they disobeyed God. They died spiritually. When he says, you shall surely die, it didn't mean that once they disobeyed God, they just dropped dead. No, no, no. They died spiritually that day, meaning no longer did they have communion with God. And this is why they were aware of their nakedness, and they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves, and they tried to hide from God. And whenever we disobey God, and whenever Satan entices us to disobey God, the first thing we want to do is hide from God. And this is why whenever you and I, whenever we disobey God, we've been enticed. We try to hide from God. We don't see your church. Why? Because you're hiding from God as if God only appears here. And try to get you to hide from God. And then what happened is they sow fig leaves together. And see, fig leaves is nothing but man-made religion to try to make us look righteous. And so, too, you try to come up with some man-made religion to try to make yourself look righteous. Oh, I can worship God. And you hear people say this all the time. I worship God in my own way. That's nothing but fig leaves sewn together to try to make yourself look right. Well, see, it doesn't take all that to worship God. See, you're coming up with your own form of righteousness, which is nothing but fig leaves you're trying to sew together to make yourself look righteous. And this is exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. And because they disobeyed God, God said, you shall surely die. And they did. And who caused them to die? Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. Oh, let me tell you something. Satan would try to murder us as well. Whoever it is that's in your ear hissing, like a serpent trying to get you to disobey God. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to do this. It don't take all that to worship God. Stay home with me today. That's what they must. They should say that right afterwards. Anyone who tries to get you to disobey God is a serpent and of the devil. And this is what he would try to do to us to get us to disobey God and kill our good name on the job. Murder our reputation. Put to death our words. See, when we as a child of God, meaning that we're practicing righteousness and loving others, Satan is not going to be happy with us. And he may even ask for us by name. Oh, isn't that what Jesus told Peter in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32? He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fails not. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. What an amazing thought of Satan asking for people by name. Oh, when you're practicing righteousness and loving other people, oh, he knows you. He knows who you are, the demons of hell, so to speak. And that's why I'm speaking tongue in cheek. You know, the devil and the angels, his demons are not in hell. You realize that, don't you? They will be in the future, but they're not now. That's just a term we use. But I'm telling you, oh, they know about you. You remember in Acts chapter 19, the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast a demon out. And they said, well, we cast you out by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They looked at them and says, Jesus I know and Paul I know. But who in the heck are you? And that man who had the demons in him jumped on them, whooped their rear end and sent them out naked and wounded down the street. But notice he says, Jesus I know and Paul I know. When we are practicing righteousness and loving other people, oh, Satan and his boys know. And they know who you are. And he may even ask for you by name, that he may sift you as wheat. But notice what Jesus said. But I have prayed for you. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. I want you to notice the first thing that Satan has to first ask for permission to do anything to us. Then we have the prayers of Jesus to get us through whatever situation Satan has for us. This is why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he ever lives to make intercession for you, meaning that he's praying for you. He's praying for me. That situation that you thought was going to take you under, you're here today because Jesus prayed you through. You're not here because, well, I have some strong willpower and I just stop. Jesus prayed you through. That's why you're here and he's praying for you right now. So what else did Jesus say about the devil? Notice what it says there. He says You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice the devil is a liar, and not only the liar, but he's the father, the source, the originator of lies. Jesus tells us that Satan is not only a murderer, but he is also a liar. So all the murders you see across this land, across the world, we know now who's behind it. The devil is a murderer and all the lies. He is a liar as well. Jesus says he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. It says when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources or from his own wicked nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. This baffles me when I think of this. Because I know the origin of Satan. The Bible says he was once one of the most beautiful angels in heaven. According to Ezekiel 28 verses 13 through 19. The Bible says that every known jewel known to man covered him. It was the only way Ezekiel knew how to describe what God was showing him about this once beautiful angel. He said every known jewel was his covering. Most beautiful angel. The Bible says he was an anointed cherub. The cherubim were special angels always associated or surrounded around the throne of God. And we see this in Exodus 25 as well as Hebrews 9. We see this as well. It is believed that Satan once led the host of heaven in worship of God. Ezekiel 28 verse 13 says that he had hands like tambourines and voice like a pipe organ. And he was perfect in all of his ways until, that one word, until iniquity or sin was found in him. Now he was no longer content with leading the host of heaven in worship. Now he wanted to be worshiped like God. And he said in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14, he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds in the farthest part of the north. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God who is worshiped. And God said, oh, no, you will not. Not on my watch. And he was cast out of his position in heaven. And this is why Jesus said a very strange thing in Luke 10, verse 18. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Oh, if you want to see yourself fall, lightning is quick. If you want to see yourself fall quickly, begin to think you are something big. And then you will find yourself fall like lightning. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. You lift yourself up, you will fall like lightning, like Satan did. So we see when Genesis chapter 3 occurred, with Adam and Eve in the garden, we see Satan already in his fallen condition, showing that this incident happened sometime before the events in Genesis chapter 3, or as most scholars suggest, this incident with Satan fallen happened somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. So what baffles me is how could Satan be around God, who is truth? He's the embodiment of truth. Allow himself to become the father of lies. Oh, it's easy. Because God created all of his creatures with a free will. We can freely worship him or not. God could have easily made us worship him. He could have easily made us serve him, made us do that. Who gets pleasure out of that? The only person that gets pleasure out of someone making them do something is moms. Come over and give me a kiss and tell me you love me. They kiss you and tell I love you and you get something out of that. You're the only ones. God doesn't. He could have easily made us like that. Come here. Worship me. Worship me. We worship you, God. Oh, we lift your name on high. And we could have easily gone through the motion because God made us. No, he gave us a free will. We can choose to or choose not to. And when we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, like Romans 12:3 tells us, there's where the problem comes. Satan saw the worship God was getting and said, notice, in his heart, I should be getting this worship. It's me leading everyone in worship, Satan said. So I should get some of this too. I should get some of this worship too. And this is why those gifted in music and worship need to be very mindful of this, because when you start to think that you're gifted and how everyone is telling you how good you are, watch out. And this is why in every church, the mess in the church starts in the choir. Many of you came out of churches like that. Where did the mess start? In the choir. Because music is Satan's specialty. Music can be used to uncover us in the presence of God. Or music can be used to uncover us in sensuality. In every sex scene in the movie, there's some music playing. Let's throw on the old jams, the oldies but goodies, and many artists boast. Oh, but many people made babies off of this song. Music can be used to draw us into the presence of God, or music can be used to cause us to take our clothes off in sensuality. Please understand, and don't think that Satan lost his musical ability when he fell into sin. Now he's in charge of the music industry. And this is how Satan gets the worship he's always wanted, through music. See, that's the deceptive part. Because, you know, Satan is in your face. You have Satan in your face, the evil kind of demonic kind of stuff. But people fail to realize that Satan can disguise himself into an angel of light and come off very innocent. And he can come off very unassuming. And therefore, he can come out with music that's blatantly mocking God and exalting the devil. Then he can come off very unassuming. And you're never, oh, that's demonic. Oh, what are you? Yo, you're crazy. You're just a fanatic. That's not demonic. Oh, see, that's the trick of Satan. That's the trick. Keep in mind, Satan always wanted and still does today. He wants to be worshipped. So how is he going to get it? Through music. And this is why musical artists are worshipped as gods, because of Satan's influence behind it. You see folks, they see their favorite musical artist there at the concerts crying. And they're just crazy. What? And you look at them and say, what's wrong with y'all? This is how Satan is worshipped, through music. He uses musical artists to get people to worship him. Keep in mind, that was his desire from day one. I want to be like God who is worshipped. And therefore, he uses the musical industry to get people to worship him. And this is why the fight is so intense with your children in this area. This is why one of the last areas to really go for those who really commit themselves to Jesus Christ is in the area of music. See, we see this in Daniel chapter 3. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar built a golden statue of himself. He wanted people to worship him. He said, I'm going to give you a chance. He brought everybody together and said, look, you see that golden statue? It's about 90 feet tall. It's all of gold. That's really me. And I need you to bow down to me. He said, I'm going to do something. And when I do this, you hit the ground and bow down and worship me. And you know what that was? He said, when I strike up the music in Daniel 3, verses 5 through 7, he said, then you bow down to this idol. People are still bowing down to idols today. They got rock idols, R&B idols, country idols. And people definitely are, you know, constantly saying that mathematics is the universal language. And I will argue that music is. You can go to the remote parts of the world and find musical artists' music playing. Papua New Guinea, they were requesting Michael Jackson stuff. I was just told by one of the guys when he was over in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, one of the soldiers over there, they stopped to talk to him. He said, you know, and guy said, give me that hat. He said, well, I exchanged this hat if you give me some Madonna music. Madonna? In Desert Storm, Desert Shield? He wanted Madonna? Are you kidding me? The Material Girl? You wanted Madonna? Because this is how Satan is worshiped, through music. And see, here's Satan, who once stood in the presence of God, who is truth, now, according to Jesus, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And he is a liar and the father of lies. That's heavy. Jesus is saying when dealing with opposition, people may resort to lying on you. If they are children of the devil, they will imitate their father. They will tell half-truths. They will exaggerate about you. And what I find even more sobering is when we lie as children of God, we're imitating Satan and not God. What lie are you telling today, or lie that you're living today? Well, many people live a lie. There are guys right now for you singles. There are guys or girls. They'll live a lie until they marry you, get you down the aisle. What? Where's your husband? He said he's not coming to church anymore. Well, he used to come. Oh, that was just to get you. See, that was just to get you. Now he got you. You know, I don't have to live that lie anymore. Oh, we see it all the time in the movies. Guys live a lie. He come home like the businessman, and all of a sudden he's a double agent, some secret spy somewhere. People live a lie all the time. And this is a sobering thought. Whenever we, as children of God, whenever we lie, we're imitating Satan. That's a very sobering thought. Look at verses 45 and 46. He says, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. He says, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Now, verse 45 starts off with the conjunction but, showing that Jesus is contrasting what he just said. In verse 44, he identified their father, the devil, and said that he is a liar and the father of lies. But verse 45 says, I tell the truth and you do not believe me. Jesus is saying that they have drank so deeply at the well of falsehood and lies that they cannot even tell what the truth is. And then Jesus made a powerful statement about himself in verse 46. He says, which of you convicts me of sin? So if you can't convict me of sin, why is it that you do not believe me? This is what theologians call the impeccability of Christ. That means that Christ, while here on the earth, was incapable of sinning. This is how he could make the statement, which of you convicts me of sin? See, we want to strive to live in such a way on our jobs and live such a way at home that we can say like Jesus did, which one of you can convict me of sin? Now, no, we will never be sinless on this side of heaven, but we want to live in such a way that we sin less and less. We want to be able to say like Paul did in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, follow me as I follow Christ. Or like he said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, therefore I urge you to imitate me. Notice Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. But here's the thing. No matter what, whether we're following Christ or not, our families and our children, they will follow us regardless of how we're living. The sobering and sad thing is when you begin to see your faults and sins in your children. That's the sobering part. So we always want to strive to live like Jesus Christ. Look at verse 47 as we wrap it up with verse 47. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, in this verse, Jesus puts the nail in the coffin when he says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. What could they say after Jesus said these things to them? He said, because you do not want to hear my words, it just shows that you're not of God. I mean, what can they say over that? They're not hearing the words of God. Let me ask you this. How are you hearing the word of God this morning? Are you receiving it as it is, the word of God? Or are you rejecting it or rejecting what is being said? Ready to go, trying to find some loopholes around what Jesus said. Jesus says, he who is of God hears God's word. Now, how did they respond to what Jesus said to them? Well, we got to wait till next week and see, because it's really going to start heating up. They're going to go for the jugular and try to hit below the belt some more. Now, let me conclude with this. I'm going to conclude by asking us, who is your father? You can know by simply looking at your life. Are you practicing righteousness and loving other people? Or are you practicing lies, deceit, and not standing in the truth? Your answer to these questions tell you who is your father. Now, if you're here today and you see that God isn't your father, he can be by repenting of your sins and lies and ask him to become your Lord and Savior by faith. And he will come inside of you and change you into a person of truth. Or to change you to become more like Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time you've given us. Thank you for your word. We pray, dear God, that you would move by your Holy Spirit in this room, drawing people unto you. Lord, there are those who see that they are not a child of yours. Lord, I pray that God, by your Holy Spirit, you would draw them unto you, that they will repent of their sins and by faith receive you into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, that you will grant the faith needed for those to believe today. Draw people unto you by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.